51 is Jesus coming out into his public ministry and choosing 12 men to work with him. You ever wondered why? Why would he have chosen 12 men to travel with him for 3 years? Well, the obvious answer to that is obviously that when he was gone, he was going to hand over the work that he had started into their hands. But it's not only that. Because what he's actually doing is building a team to change the world. We are here this morning because Jesus built a team. He believed in teamwork. And as I look around, as we've been here in the church for a number of years now, we've seen that the church team works together to extend the ministry, to build the work. No one person has all the gifts. And they each rely upon each other for differing gifts. People keep coming up to me and saying, "Aren't you exhausted with all these 60 people coming and all this planning?" And I said, "No, we've got a team. Everybody's doing something different. And everybody's using their talents, their gifts. They are being released into ministry to do the work, the gifting that God has given them." And the secret is for you to recognize that God has given you a gift, a spiritual gift. Now the question is, are you using it in the body and the life of the church? It may be administration. It may be the gift of helps. It may be the gift of hospitality. Maybe the gift of washing up. We don't want that one, do we? We want to have the gift of preaching. We want to have the gift of healing. We want to have this prophetic ministry. Who wants the gift of helps? Shining somebody else's shoes. Doing the washing up. Painting the church, weeding the grass. Even those are the gifts that God has given you to exercise within the body so that the body works together. And Jesus, of course, understood this very clearly. John the Baptist recognizes Jesus. Verse 36, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And later on, of course, it reveals him as the Son of God as well. And can I ask you, this morning, have you recognized who Jesus is? Maybe you've been coming to church all your lives. Maybe you're a very faithful Anglican. Maybe you're not such a faithful Anglican. That is not important. What is important is, have you recognized who Jesus is to you? Now, what is a lamb? Who keeps a lamb long term? A lamb is raised to be slaughtered. And in the context of the Middle East, in the Jewish religion, the lamb was to be slaughtered, the blood caught, and then used on the altar. It's a symbol of the salvation that God gives, freedom from sin. Have you recognized who Jesus is? Is he your Savior? Has he saved you from yourself? From Satan, from sin? Are you set free to be all that God wants you to be? Or are you still wallowing down there in some mist, wondering what it's all about? This morning, the difference is that you put your hand out in faith and touch him and say, "Lord, be my Savior." And then you will see things begin to fall into place. John the Baptist actually loses two of his disciples because he then says, "This is the Lamb of God," and the two disciples heard him speak and they follow Jesus. John the Baptist lost part of his team. And sometimes we have to lose part of the work that we love in order that the work of God goes forward in much more power. We can't hold on to the work of God. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He is guiding its operations. In verse 38, we see that he has chosen this first group of disciples, and one invites another. That's the way the church grows. Oh, we can have evangelistic campaigns. We can give out the Jesus video. We can do this, we can do that. We can have programs. But what do most people respond to? Most people respond to relationships. Most people are looking for a meaningful relationship with other people. Now, some people, and you saw Chris Matthijs, I don't know how he got into the choir this morning. I just can't control that man. But he ended up in the choir. He's known as Mr. Radio. He speaks in, he has a radio program in 11 languages, reaching 12 million people in East Africa. So he's full of music. He's an incredible person. But he's full of relationships. He's got relationships with people all over Kenya. I was sitting in a car in a village one day, and he was talking to me, and a man on a bicycle rode by, and he screeched, pulled up the bike, backpedaled, and he said, "You're Chris Mutai. I've heard you on the radio." Never seen him. He's got friends all over. Now, there are some of us that love to have lots and lots and lots of friends. Some of us, we want only one or two friends. My youngest son has many friends. My older son, he only wants one or two. He's happy with that. That doesn't matter. But you see, the church, Jesus' disciples grew by one bringing another through a relationship. If each one of us make one friend this year, the size of the church can double. It's that simple. One friend. You don't have to be an expert. You just need to make and be a friend. Make a cup of tea. Open your front door. Invite somebody in. Make your home the center of world mission. But of course, they needed to be taught. They needed to learn. And so we have those programs within the church where teaching and training can take place. And the mark of a mature Christian is that he's hungry for teaching. If you ever get to the point where you're satisfied, watch out. That's the danger point. We need to be reading and studying and learning continually. I once did an exercise at looking at multiplication. You see, if we add people to the church, it's going to take us forever to reach this neighborhood. But if each person, let's take it for 6 months, not 1 year, take 6 months. If each one of us make one friend and lead them to Christ in 6 months and teach them to do the same thing, after 2 years, we've got 4 people. After 3 years, we've got 16 people. And so on. The multiplication goes on. And in 32 years, we will have 3,000 million people attending this church. Now, those are the kinds of problems we need. But do you see the point? That multiplication, one winning the other, multiplies the work of God. Now, our particular emphasis is to go where there are no Christians. So it's taking us a bit longer. But Sas Conradi, my assistant, went down to Malawi, and he met with Lloyd and with George. I think they're here this morning. And they put a team together, and they gave them bicycles. They had their shirt on their back, their shorts, and they cycled over into Mozambique. And on a one-month campaign, they'd established 9 churches. The world out there is hungry for the Word of God. They're waiting in darkness. They're waiting in poverty to hear the Word of God. That's why we have short-term teams. Every one of you could be in Turkey or Morocco this summer, giving out the Word of God, sowing the seed. When one person finds Jesus, he wants to share that with others. And if you ever get to the point where you're no longer in love with the Lord Jesus, then there's something wrong. You need to be revived, renewed in your inner self. When I first became a Christian in Orpington, just down the road here, I came home full of enthusiasm, and I shared it with my family. So the first answer, the first response to that, well, it won't last. Well, that was 48 years ago. It won't last. And they laughed at me. I shared a bedroom with a stepbrother. I'd been adopted. I shared a bedroom with him, and every night I knelt beside my bed and I would pray. And one night he leaned over and he says, "Do you have to do that?" He was really offended by my kneeling down and praying. He's now one of the deacons at the Anglican Church in Otford, leading the youth group. Another brother, he was an alcoholic and drug addict. He and I used to walk from Orpington down to Hastings and back again at the weekends, right through the night, talking and walking and drinking. And now he's a missionary to Iraq. He has been into Iraq 21 times. He's led many Kurdish people to Christ. Another brother, he totally ignored me. He was so embarrassed by even religion, he didn't want to know. He just ignored me, and I went off to India. And one day I picked up the post in Bombay, opened the letter. And what was it? It was a letter from Dave, and he said, "Ron, I've just been to a Billy Graham meeting, and my wife and I just went forward, and we've become Christians." My uncle that I was living with was an alcoholic. He couldn't get through life without drinking 12 pints of beer a day. He went forward at a Bible school in Canada one day as he went out to visit some friends. His wife, my aunt, couldn't find any time to be with her husband unless she took a job as being a barmaid. We used to have a barrel of beer in our room, in our front room. We were the only house in our area that was painted red when the elections came. Everybody else was blue or green. She became a barmaid. She is now a member of a Brethren Assembly in Farnborough, here in Kent. How did it happen? Relationships. Relationships. You have relationships that you need to tap into. How do you do it, therefore? First of all, by prayer. You begin by prayer. Ask God to give you an openness to talk. I was a very shy person. You might not believe that sometimes, but I was very, very shy and very timid, and I could not witness to anybody. So I used to pray, "Lord, if you want me to talk to somebody, you open the door, you give me an opportunity." And guaranteed, every time I asked for an opportunity, the Lord opened the door and they would ask me questions. I remember going out to India and on a ship, walking up and down the deck of the ship, memorizing Bible verses, and this Pakistani Muslim saw me memorizing verses, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm memorizing." He said, "What are you memorizing?" "I'm memorizing Bible verses. Let me see this verse." So I gave him the text. He read it. He said, "What is this meaning?" So I told him the meaning, and just then an Englishman was walking by. He said, "Oh, you missionaries, you're terrible people. Leave these people alone. They've got their own religion." And this Pakistani Muslim turned to him and he said, "Oh, shut up. I asked him." You see, when you pray and then people ask you a question, you can say what you like. But if you push religion on them, they're closed down. Just pray. Share your own experience. They don't want the theory. They want to know what Christ means to you. How were you saved? What did God do for you this week? Point them to the risen Christ. And also there are books and tapes and seminars that you can go to learn how to share your faith. And a good way of doing it is coming to Turkey this summer. In verse 45, we see that Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said unto him, "Come and see. See for yourself." And I keep coming across people who say, "I love Jesus. He's a wonderful person. But I really can't, you know, I can't swallow the Bible. Too many contradictions there. You can't really trust the Bible. There's so many mistakes in the Bible." Brothers and sisters, there is no other Jesus other than the Jesus of the Bible. And if you want to get to know Jesus, you need to get to know the Scriptures. I was in an Anglican church when I was first saved and this ordinand came up to me and he said, are you interested in follow-up? Now, I didn't know what follow-up was, so I said, yes. So he came from Oak Hill Theological College to Charing Cross Station. We met in Joe Lyons' cafe in the days when Joe Lyons was around. I would come up from Orpington, we'd have tea together, and he would teach me how to read the Bible. I learned to read the Bible every 3 months. If you read 4 chapters in the morning for breakfast, 4 for lunch, 4 for supper before you go to bed, you will get through the Bible every 3 months. Old and New Testament. You will begin to see Jesus Christ shining through every page of the Old and the New Testament. There is no other Christ other than the Christ of the New Testament. We need a fresh anointing from God in our love for the Word of God. And praise the Lord for Andrew's initiative on the Bible and the cassettes and how we can get more of the Scriptures into our thinking. Some of us need our minds to be rebuilt. We've been influenced too much by the secular, godless, hedonistic, pleasure-loving, materialistic world in which we live. And your children may go to church with you up to the time they're 10 or 11 years of age. But if they don't know the Scriptures, they will not last. Your primary duty is to give them a love for reading the Word of God. Near the end of the passage, in verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter shall you see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And this is a very, very important part of this passage. Because he was choosing his 12, he was building a team to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The God that we worship is a missionary God. Christ was the first missionary. He chose a team of 12. He worked with them, taught them, trained them, and sent them. We have a brother here from India, Chandi Varghese. He comes from South India. The Malayalis belong to the Martoma Church. Who founded the Martoma Church? Thomas. You go to Hierapolis in Turkey today, and there's a church there where St. Andrew was crucified upside down. The disciples dispersed. They went into all the world to preach the gospel. They took the gospel to the nations. And here in verse 51, we see the mandate for missions again. Jesus says the angels of God will ascend and descend upon him in the new temple. All the ends of the earth will flow to the new Jerusalem. It's a global church. The church is global. We've never had such an opportunity to go out to all the ends of the earth. I am looking for gray-headed people. Because you see, they have wisdom, they have knowledge, and out in the Muslim world, they have respect. And you young people could go out and you can go to the Muslim world and they're not going to listen to you. But if you've got gray head, Muslims stand up, they show respect, they listen to what you have to say, they don't criticize you. If you've taken early retirement, why not take 3 months overseas and 9 months back here? Especially in the winter. Fantastic. You can get away from this rain. I can promise you no rain and no frost and no cold. You go with Chris to Kenya. You could teach in a school in Kenya. Go with Robert to Nairobi. They'll take you for 3 months. Talk to them afterwards. There's Noel from the Philippines here. He'd love to have you working. You know, Barbara Meller has just come back. She was working there in Smoky Mountain. This is a rubbish garbage dump. Bigger than Crowborough, burning. People live on the burning mass. Can you imagine Barbara Miller, that lovely, sophisticated, lovely smelling, beautiful lady living on a garbage dump? She's totally transformed. She'll never be the same. Over there in Genesis chapter 28, I will close with this, Andrew. Genesis 28 and verse 12 to 15 is the story that Jesus is referring to here of the ages of God ascending and descending. And in verse 14, God gives to Abraham the promise, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Here he is promising to Abraham that I'm going to bless you. And through him came the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself is the seed of Abraham. He has taken the message. And we are here. The church is an international body. But not all the families on the earth have been blessed. We haven't reached that point yet. There are still tribes. There are still people groups. There are still nations that have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are here. God has blessed us with this place to be the training center for worldwide revolution. We end up, therefore, with Matthew chapter 28, where he gives his command to those 12 men, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of hearing the gospel, for fellowship, for teaching, for training. But oh God, open our eyes to the nations, the poor, the sick, the blind, the widows, the orphans, those scarred with bombs and bullets and earthquakes, those living in fear of demons and spirits, of oppressors, of presidents, those, Lord, who sit waiting to hear of something hopeful. Those children roaming the streets of Delhi, Bombay, Bangkok, Thailand, Africa, Glasgow, Manchester, London, who need to hear that somebody loves them, that they have the potential of being a Mozart, a scientist, a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer. Help us to give them hope. Help them to reach their full potential. That their little lives, may not be wasted, but they may be the people that you want them to be. Give us a concern. Give us a vision. And we give you our love in Jesus' name. Amen.